People of God, would you turn with me, if you will, in your copy of God's Word to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. If you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, this is on page 599. You'll see verse 9 in the bottom right-hand corner there. We'll also have it on the screen. The bulletin says we're going to read through verse 17. I changed that late in the week after we had printed that. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. A little bit longer, so as always, if you need to remain seated or be seated while we're reading, please feel free to do that. Otherwise, when you get there, or if you're using the screen, would you please stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word at home, too, if you're able. One of the ways we just want to remind you that you're part of us, part of our family, is by standing together and fully participating in worship with us. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 9, I'm going to read all the way to the end of the chapter. And this is the word of the Lord. Going up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing, an emptiness. Now, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither. The tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and give thanks to him for it. Indeed, Father. Indeed, Father, thank you for your word and this call to us to look up and consider how big you are. Would you help us to marvel at you this morning? Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, indeed, that we might know you more and love you better and and love like you love. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Would you please be seated? So how big is your God? How able is he? How strong is your God? These are the kinds of questions behind our text this morning in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 jumps way, way ahead in Israel's history, way ahead in time. Even if you were to read Isaiah from chapter 1, you get to chapter 39, and then to chapter 40, big jump in time. Isaiah 40 envisions the people of God already defeated by the Assyrian army, already conquered by the Babylonian army. Isaiah 40 envisions the people of God carried away as foreigners, by foreigners, into a foreign country. They've lost everything. Their homeland is in ruins. The temple, Solomon's palace, they all lie in ashes. Everything has been taken away, and they wonder, where is God? That's what verse 27 asks. Does God even see what's happening? Does he even care? Do you ever ask that or feel that way? I mean, when life starts to loom really large in your eyes, crisis begins to consume you, the medical appointments keep piling on top of each other, the bills just keep coming in and in, or even just the stress of the everyday, right? That coworker, that marriage, those kids, classes and teachers, whatever stress there is in your life, when all of that begins to loom large, sometimes God feels small, doesn't he? Or distant or absent. And it's there that the enemy starts to whisper to us, maybe you deserve this. Maybe God's not strong enough to help you here. Maybe he's too busy right now, or maybe he just doesn't care. How big is your God? How strong is he? When life looms large and our view of God starts to feel really, really small, Isaiah sends us this word. Our text this morning in Isaiah 40, it's a reminder of the power, of the strength, of the size of our God, so that when life looms large, we don't shrink down, but rather we rise up against every challenge, every struggle, every stressor, every hardship. Because our God defends us, and our God tends us, and our God strengthens us with his own power. This morning, people of God, I want us to remember how big our God really is so that we can rise up against every challenge that lies in front of us. When life looms large, remember, our God defends us, tends us, and strengthens us. Let's start this morning with God defends us. And our text here opens Isaiah chapter 40 with the people of God in captivity, right? They're prisoners, exiles in Babylon, and a messenger is sent by God with good news. Verse 9, say to the people of God, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Instead, behold your God. When life looms large, behold your God. It's a call to look up again and consider how big God is and what he's like and who he is. And so verse 10 says, behold, he comes in might. His arm rules for him. This is the language of God the defender, of God the warrior, of God who fights for his people. And just how big and just how strong is our God? Look down to verse 15. It says the nations are like, well, they're like nothing to him. I mean, consider the great empires of the history of the world. Consider the mighty nations today, and God looks at them as just a drop in a bucket. He scoops them up like dust to be measured or weighed. The image in verse 16, these giant trees of Lebanon said wouldn't make a fire big enough to keep him warm, right? The image here is, if you imagine taking all of the giant sequoias and all of the tall redwood trees on the west coast and cut them down and burn them, it couldn't make a fire big enough to warm his feet. All the forest of the east coast cut down, it's not enough to warm the feet of God. He's too big. This is how big God is. You see, here for the people of God is this massive army of Babylon. Babylon who defeated all of Israel's armies. Babylon who invaded the capital. Babylon who carried off the people as prisoners. They're scary. They loom large and dangerous. And yet it's right there that the prophet reminds us, your God is bigger, your God is stronger than the biggest, strongest, scariest army that humanity could produce. Verse 17, Babylon is like nothing, less than nothing, verse 17 says. And that's true, people of God. For everything that looms large before you this morning. It's a reminder that no matter how big things feel, your God is bigger. No matter how giant your stressors, no matter how huge your problems feel, your God is bigger. And not just bigger, stronger. Look at verse 21. Remember, people of Israel, captives, a kind of prisoner, refugees in Babylon, captive people. And the prophet reminds them, don't you know? Don't you understand how the world works? God sits above the planets themselves. God made the heavens and stretches them out like just like we were to open curtains in a living room. Like setting up a tent. Have you ever set up a tent? That's what God did with the whole sky. That's how big our God is. And what's verse 23 say? Those rulers who hold you prisoner right now, Israel, these armies who have captured you, your God is stronger than them. He brings them down as though they're nothing, like dry grass that has no root, says verse 24. Or imagine it's the middle of summer. I know it's hard to do, right, with all that white stuff outside, but it's the middle of summer, and you pick up one of those weeds, the dandelions, and it's got that big white head. All the yard owners hate this, and all the kids love it. And they scatter. That's what he says about Babylon's army. He plucks them like a dandelion. He blows on the head of the weed, and they're scattered to the wind and are no more. So why are you afraid of them? He says. Your God's bigger. Your God is stronger. And your God fights for you. He's for you. He's with you. He defends you. Listen, people of God, whatever looms large in your life, whatever feels too big, too hard, too scary, run to your God. Behold your God. Don't say he doesn't see. Don't believe those whispers of the enemy. God's not there. God doesn't care. Don't believe it. God is bigger than we can imagine. He's stronger than we can even comprehend. And this God defends his people. When life looms large, run to your God because he defends us. He defends his people. He defends us and he tends us. We're in the middle of a crisis here, the people of Israel are. They're in captivity. The prisoners of war removed from everything they knew and loved and cared about. And it's right here in the midst of this darkness comes the tenderness of verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom. And he'll gently lead those with young. The image here in our text, it changes really quickly from verse 10 to 11. Verse 10, here's the warrior who defends his people. Right? Verse 10 is God, the warrior to whom the nations are but a drop in the bucket, like sand on the coast. This is the big, strong, almighty God who fights for and defends us as people. But then verse 11, the image shifts to that of a shepherd. And notice the first line of verse 11, he will tend his flock. This is about God's general care for all of his people and his church. And so imagine these questions the Israelites are wondering when they're there in Babylon. We saw some of those in verse 27. How can God let this happen? What does this mean for all of these plans that we heard about from Moses and from the prophets? What does this mean for his people and for our collective future as the people of God? I think it's fitting for us this morning, for those of you here who are concerned about the state of the church in our country or in our world, for those places where you feel anxious about elections or about schools or about wars and crises, the message here is this: God tends his flock. His plans and his purposes for his people will not be thwarted. His will cannot be undone. His plans for his worldwide church are sure and certain and good, because he tends his flock. That mighty warrior God of verse 10 directs his power and his wisdom for the good of his collective people in verse 11. He tends us. But then you keep reading verse 11, and this image shrinks. It shrinks from the collective people of God and becomes even more narrow in focus. You see, our shepherd God does not just tend us collectively. He also tends us individually. He cares about us individually. Look at the image as it continues in verse 11. He gathers the lambs in his arms, right? This is a picture of the most vulnerable among the sheep, right? The weak, the little babies. And I think it's meant to be an image here, not just of the weak, but of the hurting, right? These are the most vulnerable among the people of God, because it refers here to those sheep who need the most care. And look what the shepherd does with the sheep, verse 11. He stoops down, he gathers them in his arm, and he carries them in his bosom. The expression here is to gather them up and to hold them really close. It's an image of incredible tenderness and intimacy from our shepherd. Friends, this is your God. He fights for you in verse 10, and he stoops down to pick you up in your weakness in verse 11, holding you near to his heart, comforting you with his love, with his presence. Behold your God, O people of Jesus. He's full of compassion and tenderness towards you in those very hurting places, stooping to hold you as he tends you in his arms. And there's more if we keep reading. You see, our shepherd is compassionate and merciful. He's full of love for his people, for each one of us as we suffer, but he does not leave us in those places of pain. Did you notice that in the text? It's the very, very end of verse 11. He will gently lead those who are with young. Remember the context here. God's people have been ripped away from their homes. They've been marched 500 miles away to Babylon on foot. The promise here is that God will defend them, God will comfort them, and God will eventually and gently lead them home back to Israel. You see, friends, God doesn't leave us in our sufferings. He doesn't leave us in our places of pain and darkness, but he leads us through them, gently, tenderly, carefully guiding us through those places of pain. You see, it's more than just holding us when we're hurting. He does that. We see that in the verse. He does that. He does hold us when we're hurting. He does sing over us songs of comfort. He moves toward us tenderly and compassionately, holding us near his heart, but he doesn't leave us there. He leads us through the hurt, leads us through the pain, tending us gently all the way through the darkness. You see, friends, wherever you're hurting, wherever life is just looming really, really big over you, receive this gentle tending from your good shepherd. Cry out to him in your hurt. Receive him gathering you into his arms, soothing you with his presence and with his love, and then allow him to gently lead you through the pain. Our mighty God defends us, but he's also our good shepherd who tends us receive his gentle tending. And that gentle tending, it includes God giving to you his very own strength and power to endure. The very power by which he made the worlds and all that is in them, his resurrection strength. Our God is big and strong. He defends us, he tends us, and then he strengthens us with his own power. Our whole chapter, Isaiah 40, it ends with this beautiful and somewhat famous text. And I love that Joy played that reminder for us at the prelude. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Many of you likely have this hanging somewhere in your homes or in a wallpaper on your computers. It's a beautiful, encouraging, hopeful text. And what I want us to see this morning is that the strength from the Lord by which he raises us up on eagle's wings, the strength of this promise in verse 31, it's actually the culmination of the entire chapter and serves to remind us not only does God strengthen us, he actually strengthens us with his own power. Let's walk through the whole text again briefly. Verse 9, shout out good news, don't be afraid. Why? Behold your God. And what's God like? Verse 10, he's a mighty warrior defending his people. Verse 11, he's a shepherd tending his flock, caring personally for the vulnerable and the hurting among them. Then verses 12 through 17, the prophet says, look what God's done. I mean, he made the whole earth. Consider how big the oceans are, how deep they are. If you've been to the ocean and you look out at that expanse, or even just going to Lake Michigan and water as far as your eyes can see, God did that. He made everything. Verses 18 to 24 says, why would you turn to a block of stone or wood or metal? The idols of the nations can't compare. Only the one true and living God orchestrates all of history together, bringing it to his intended purpose, right? What are the nations compared to God? Their tanks and their armies and their nuclear weapons, they're no match for the power of Almighty God. Verse 25, 26, just look at the stars. He says, look up. That's what he says. He says, go outside, look up at the sky. Find an international dark sky area and just sit under the stars for a while. Or look at the moon when it's full. Consider the glowing planets in the night sky. We've been able to see Jupiter early evening in the sky, Mars at the beginning of the morning. You can see them there. God put them there. He doesn't lose track of any of them. These verses say he counts them, he names them, he makes sure they stay where they are, makes sure they stay in their orbit. He spins the earth itself. This is your God. This is how big he is. And so when we come to verse 27, the prophet says, how can you think that you're hidden from him? How can you imagine that he would disregard you? Verse 28, don't you get it? Can't you see, people of God, your God is the everlasting God. Your God is the creator of the ends of the earth, God. Your God never gets tired, never grows weary, never fails to understand or see or know. This is your God. And he gives power to the faint. You see that in verse 29? This life-giving, creating God of the universe. He gives strength to the one who's weary. Let me think about it, he says. Even the strongest among you eventually get tired. The super athletes of our world eventually need rest, eventually need a break, eventually their bodies give way, but not God. He made all things, and he gives his own life-giving, creating power to strengthen his people. We fast forward in history from Isaiah 40 to the New Testament. And Jesus Christ rises from the dead. Crucified, dead, buried, 3 days, rises again. That resurrection of Jesus Christ again declares this life-giving, creating power of the Lord God Almighty for his people. When Jesus rises from the dead, his resurrection defeats death, conquers the grave, gives life to dead hearts. It proclaims again that the very God who made the universe and all that is in it, that same creating God, also raises the dead to life. When Jesus Christ rises from the grave, he declares again this life-giving, creating power of the Lord God Almighty to strengthen his own people with his own power. You keep reading in the New Testament, and get this, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, this is Romans chapter 6, verse 11, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he lives in you. That same life-giving, world-creating power of God lives in you. It's the same power that measured the waters and marked off the heavens. It's the same power that stretched out those heavens like a curtain or like setting up a tent, spreads them out to dwell in that same power that fashioned the oceans and dug out their depths, that named the stars and put them in place and keeps the planets in orbit and the earth itself spinning, that same power that rules over the princes of the earth and brings them down to nothing. Behold, people of God, behold your God, who is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, God, raises the dead God, he lives in you. And he gives you his own power, his very strength to endure. God strengthens us. When life looms large, when it threatens to overwhelm us, when the enemy's so crafty and deceiving, that liar, when he says God's too busy for you, God's too small to help you, God doesn't care about you, don't believe it. When life looms large, people of God, behold your God and remember how big he is. He made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. He directs history toward his own ends. He is big, he is powerful, he is strong, he is good, and he defends us. He stoops to defend us, to tend us, and he strengthens us with his own power. When life looms large, remember how much bigger your God is. Will you pray with me? Father, through your word, you reveal yourself to us. How could we ever hope to even catch a glimpse of who you are or what you're like unless you show yourself to us? And so thank you for your word and that you do that here. For your people this morning, where they're hurting, where they're scared, where they need to see you, would you help them to see you fight for us and defend us, you tend us and hold us, you lead us and strengthen us with your own power. Would you do that even now as we come before you in your table? Feed us, Father, by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.